all can be seated. Good morning. Let me welcome you to Northwood Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here this morning as we come together in gratitude to God for the gift of life of William, known to us as Bill Lewis. As we come together, I would remind you that we have a wonderful reception that is planned following this service in our education building. Sponsored by our kitchen crew and the Presbyterian women. We look forward to being together in there because that will be a place where we can visit and share stories that we know fondly about Bill and Margaret and their family. And we hope you will stay and be a part of that time. As we come together, I want to first of all read these verses of Scripture. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are God's everlasting arms. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Therefore let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, you love us with an everlasting love, and you can turn the shadow of death into the morning. And so help us now to wait upon you with reverent and believing hearts. In the silence of this hour, speak to us of eternal things, so that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we may have hope and be lifted above our darkness and distress into the light and peace of thy presence. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to take the hymn book out of the pew in front of you, and we will sing our first hymn, 625, "How Great Thou Art." And it's right there for you in the front.
turn to God's Word when they experience a loss. God has revealed His heart for humankind, His everlasting love, and we meet God in His Word, assured of His love for us, as all His promises have been entered, yes, in Jesus Christ our Lord. The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, beginning in chapter 30, verse 18. Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Therefore He will rise up to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for Him. Truly, O people in Zion, inhabitants of Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry, when He hears it, and He will answer you. Though the Lord may give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. The second reading is from Psalm 100. This is a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. And I invite you to join me now, the beloved 23rd Psalm is printed in your bulletin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk under God in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
We turn now to the New Testament, where I will be reading one verse from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And I would say to you, this is a direction from Bill's typed and detailed instructions for his service today. He requested this verse be read from the New Testament from the King James Version of the Bible. And typed next to this one verse is the phrase, favorite Bible verse. And so let us give our attention to the reading of God's holy word from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. May the Lord bless to us the reading of His holy word, and to His name be all glory and honor, world without end. Bill requested that I share in his memorial service, and that Chris, you do the speaking. And he wanted me to offer some words of wisdom and comfort, appropriate for today. I am glad to do that. Indeed, I am honored to do it. But I want to reverse the order and offer first some words of comfort and then words of wisdom. Today on this special gathering of Bill's family and friends, as we briefly, Bill was one for brevity, as we briefly reflect on Bill's life and faith and remember his larger-than-life personality, I do indeed want to offer these comforting words. I want to say lovingly to you as a family who have gathered and those in your family who are watching through the live streaming, death can be painful. The loss of someone that we love is difficult, no matter what the age of the one that has died. Grief over the loss of someone we love is experienced not for a week or a month, it's experienced over an entire lifetime. And we all know that death is a part of living. Bill knew this. Bill faced death. He had a sound mind. He did not face it with a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And death is the reality that all of us will face. For his beloved wife, Margaret, of 71 years, his high school sweetheart, Margaret, his love, his inspiration, as he would say to me, I don't need to go to rehab, I have a nurse up in that apartment. So admired by him, as he would sit and embellish stories, as I sat in their apartment, she would poke him in the arm and say, don't forget to tell him this. And he would say, I will. But she so admired him in those embellished stories. And on a few occasions, I saw her. She had to, both in public and in private, kind of hold him back. But I would say to you, in love, she often just let him go on, right? This is a day that we saw coming. It's a day that he saw coming. He saw it coming so clearly that he typed out his final arrangements, this service, and he gave it to me several years ago. And then he made a second edition, and this is the third edition. It didn't change very much from the first one, just a tweak here or there. But knowing this day was coming does not make it any easier. So, Margaret, I want to say to you first, I hope and I pray that this morning and in the days and time to come, that you will sincerely feel our arms holding you as a community. We keep you sincerely in our thoughts and prayers. And for Bill's son, Glenn, his wife, Beverly, for daughter, Beth, her husband, Charles, Glenn and Beth, you had such a wonderful dad. Larger than life at times, and you were able to witness over the years your mom and dad's deep love for one another. What a gift to treasure. He loved you both. He was so proud of you both. As I said to you the other day, the Saturday night, just before he died on that Tuesday, I met with him alone in the hospital. It was just the two of us. He was talking and talking, and I had Margaret in my mind, and I said, Bill, just relax. You need to rest. And he said, oh, what does it matter? You couldn't stop him. And what he was doing, he went on at length to tell me about his love for Margaret, as well as tell me between sighs for breath and sips of Gatorade, he told me about Glenn and Beth, your story, and how proud he was of both of you and how much he loved you. He cherished you. Selfishly, on that Saturday evening, I tried to say my goodbye to Bill. I was trying to explain to him how much I would miss him as his pastor and how other people would, but how I especially would. And he laughed and looked at me, took a deep breath, and said, "Chris, where are you going?" For Bill's brother, Glenn David, and his wife, Barbara, and Bill and Margaret's 5 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren, along with so many family and friends, we sincerely extend to you our arms to hold you and to care for you. That's why we are gathered as a community of faith. Bill wanted you to hear, indeed, to give you these words of comfort, and to give you these words of comfort as a gathered community of faith. Final arrangements, Chris. And we are also comforted today in our faith, as Bill was, in our risen Lord's promise that he gives us victory over death. Amen. For while death is the reality that we face today in our gathering, as it is death that has come to us in one that we love, and we are so keenly aware that death is not our friend. The scriptures remind us that death is our enemy. And even at a memorial service, whether we acknowledge it or not, or realize it or not, there are 2 preachers here. The one is named Death with a capital D. And this is what death tries to say to us today. Here we are again. And again, I remind you, I win every time. I destroy all loving relationships. I undermine all promises and hope. I defeat your sense of community. That's what death tries to say. But as we have gathered this day, we are the other preacher in the room. And it is our duty, it is our delight, it is our comfort, it is our great joy to shake our fist at death and say, "Lo, I tell you a mystery. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the trumpet will sound, and we will be raised imperishable. We shall be changed." 1 Corinthians 15. That's wisdom. And so while death may be the voice among us here, it is not the last voice, and it is not the voice that wins. Jesus promised, in fact, in John chapter 11, more wisdom: "Whoever believes in me will never die." And the Christian faith teaches this great truth, that at death we will go to be in the everlasting presence of our loving God, the Creator of each one of us and all things. And he will also gather us with all those we have lost in faith in this earthly life. And that's good news, because that means that every time we gather like today on the occasion of the death of someone we love, it is yet another opportunity to anticipate the joyful reunion. It is a foretaste today of the glory that will be for each one of us. We do indeed with great joy give thanks to God for the life given to us in William Charles Lewis. And if I had ever referred to him that way, and I did once or twice, he quickly corrected me, and he would anyone else, by simply saying, "Please just call me Bill." And Lord, as you are welcoming him new into heaven, he has probably already said to you, "Lord, just please call me Bill." One of his habits when he would meet new employees at Regency Oaks, new members of the staff for the first time, whether it was the CEO or the lunch server, he would find out all about them. Tell me, where do you come from? Where do your parents live? Where'd you go to school? And finally, before the conversation ended, and you'll love this, he said, well, again, my name is Bill Lewis, and if next time we meet, you remember my name, I'll give you a quarter. I grew to love Bill. And I know many of us did. I am not alone in this. He touched the lives of so many people in a very special way. You knew when you met him, he was keenly interested in you. Not just in you, but he and Margaret interested in everything about you. And Bill was an equal opportunity discriminator. He said to Paul and to me both, early on when we met him, he said to Paul, Paul, my name is Bill Lewis, and I'm running for associate pastor. He said the same thing to me. Pastor, I'm Bill Lewis, and I'm running for senior pastor. He really got a kick out of that. But he always wanted to know your story. He was genuinely interested in you. Again, where are you from? Tell me about your family. He wanted to know all the details. And when you met him the next time, he would follow up on those details as if the time between you didn't take place. He would continue and pick up right just where he was before. His students knew this. He had many students over his career, and he wanted to know their stories. He wanted to know the stories of those very poor students where he started out teaching in the regions of Appalachia to his college students, and especially those swimmers. What pranksters they were. As he coached them from Eastern Michigan University and then from Miami University of Ohio. And that's where he retired from in 1991 from the Department of Health and Physical Education, Professor Emeritus. Just call me Bill. You will read in the obituary about his service in the Air Force, and I could go on and on about stories he has told me and others. But one of his joys that we reminisced about was when he and Margaret would have students stay with them over the weekend or at spring break or because there was a blizzard in Canada and students couldn't get home, and they would say, come to the house. And there they would stay with them for days and entertain them, and they would have so much fun. They loved to get to know them. In our many rendezvous at Regency Oaks, Bill wouldn't just email me and say, Chris, why don't you come to lunch at Regency Oaks? He would send me a note and say, look at your calendar and see when it's convenient for you to come visit us at the asylum. And what he was really doing was poking fun at himself and Margaret for your living in a retirement home. Oh, but those days of the pandemic, they must have felt like an asylum. But then he would ask when I met with him, with Margaret on the side, sitting on the couch, how are your folks doing in Tennessee? How's your brother Danny? How are your boys, Will and Ben? How is Joyce? Tell us about her art. And if she wasn't with me, she would say, next time you have to bring her to lunch as well. And I found in my conversations with him, and you may have found this, I had to answer all of his questions. And he would go on and on. And then sometimes I would have some spare time finally to ask he and Margaret a few questions. They wanted to hear your story. That was Bill. As I studied the scripture readings he selected in his final arrangements, I thought about them. What an appropriate word from the Old Testament. Words of wisdom, beautiful words from the prophet Isaiah. Beginning at verse 20, as we read earlier, hear them again. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, Yet your teacher will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teacher. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Words of wisdom, words of comfort. That's what Bill wanted me to share with you. And I believe looking at one of the other scriptures, Psalm 23, I believe that it was a selection of his, both for the word of comfort and the word of wisdom that Bill claimed for himself, because he knew the great shepherd, and he also knew of your care for him as well. Bill taught us how to live. He taught us how to laugh, to love, and to know how to die. This is the way, walk in it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Bill walked in the way he had been taught. He was a teacher to all of us. He reminds me somewhat of a quote from Francis of Assisi, of all things. It goes something like this: preach the gospel wherever you go, and if necessary, use words. His faith was just a part of who he was. And, O Lord our God, we have gathered this day to give you thanks and praise for the life that you gave us in Bill Lewis to enjoy, and we did. And now we give him back to you for your keeping until we meet again, which comes from the words of the last hymn that he selected. God be with us until we meet again. And I think in that he was saying to you as a family, Lord, be with my Margaret, be with my children, be with my family, my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and all that gave me this grand, large life. Lord, be with them, and Lord, be with us until we meet again. I invite you to stand for saying with me what we believe through the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're printed in our bulletins this morning. Christians, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our Father, from whom we come, unto whom we return, and in whom we live and move and have our very being, we praise you for the good gift of life, for its wonder and mystery, its friendships and fellowships. And we thank you for the ties that bind us one to another. We bless you, O God, for your loving and patient dealings with us, whereby you do ever teach us your way. For the meaning that lies hidden in the heart of sorrow and disappointment and grief, and we give you thanks for your guiding hand along the way of our earthly pilgrimage. And we give you thanks this day for your servant, Bill Lewis, recalling in the silence of our hearts and minds all that made others to love him. We bless you, O God, for the good and gracious influences of his home and training, for his education, for his service to our country, his love of Margaret and family, his love of sports as a runner and a swimmer and a swimming coach. We thank you for the goodness and the truth that have passed from his life into the lives of others, and that have made the world richer for his presence. And, O Lord, we bless you for the revelation of yourself and your love made known to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, and for your great hope that is set before us in the gospel. For we thank you, O God, that deep in the human heart there is an unquenchable trust that life does not end in death, but that the Father who made us will care for us beyond the bounds of our vision, even as he has cared for us in this earthly world. And we praise you for your name, and that our hope has been so wondrously confirmed in the life and the words and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to pray saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast given us the words of eternal life. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. And now unto the mercy of Almighty God, we commend the soul of our brother in Christ, Bill Lewis. We commit his body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, support us all the day long until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed and the fever of life is over. And then in thy great mercy, grant us safe lodging and a holy rest through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the military honors.